Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Every Thursday at this time, it's the States segment. We rotate with Chapel Fowler of the State newspaper and Jordan Kay. Chapel covers Clemson. Jordan covers South Carolina. And we bring on Chapel Fowler for today's State segment as Clemson prepares for Duke this Saturday, a noon home game for the Tigers. And Chapel, the second time this year, the Tigers are coming off of a bye week. Does that bye week, in your mind, impact the way that you think about Saturday's game, Chapel, or are you pretty much, is your mind pretty much made up on who this Clemson team is?
Good to be on with you guys. I think my mind's kind of made up at this point. I'm not sure what an off week does for Clemson at this point, besides, you know, notably maybe helps quarterback Cade Klubnik heal up that ankle injury a little bit more to where he can play. But in terms of, like, grand changes or anything, I really – don't think so. I think this team has showed us time and time again who they are, which is specific to this year, a very mediocre team. So, I don't think an extra week does them anything. You know, maybe it's a good little mental reset, and maybe we see that translate. Obviously, they went 2-1 in their last little pocket of the season coming out of their previous bye week, but those two wins were against teams that aren't great in UNC and Boston College. I don't think too much shifts. I think we kind of know what Clemson is at this point in the year.
And Chapel, what is the absolute latest on Cade Klubnik's recovery? The question I would have is, can they slap a couple extra wraps of tape on that ankle and have him go out there and be pretty well okay? Where exactly is he?
Yeah, so the first ACC availability report of the week for this weekend's games will come out tonight at 8 p.m., so that'll be worth monitoring. Cade was listed as questionable heading into the last game against SMU. No Clemson player who's been listed as questionable has ever ended up playing in a game. Wow. In this very limited, like, 3 or 4 week sample size of Clemson having to do ACC availability reports. So, you know, that's not a years-long thing. It's just specific to this year. When a guy's been questionable, they haven't played. So Cade, in the last game, I said last week, but it was 2 weeks ago, he went questionable, game-time decision, and he obviously didn't play against SMU and really wasn't close. You know, he didn't dress past very initial, like, pregame warm-ups. So I guess we'll see tonight. We were told by Dabo last night that Cade has been able to practice, quote, a good bit. What that really means and how much he's actually been able to participate, I'm not sure. I'd say it's probably coin flippy, maybe a little bit closer chances to him playing just because of that extra week. He hasn't talked to us in the media, but he did a number of, like, interviews with national outlets a few weeks ago as one of his NIL packages, as part of one of his NIL deals, and kind of, you know, that's not the type of thing you usually trot a guy out for if they're out for the season or anything. And he kind of addressed his injury and said, I'll be back soon, hopefully, that type of stuff. So I think we may see him on Saturday, but, you know, maybe another surprise. Who knows?
Chapel, along those same lines, with the bye week changing your mind on this team, does the status of Cade Klubnik and whether he goes or not change your mind in terms of what they do Saturday against Duke?
A little bit. I think it's the type of situation where, you know, I don't know. I'd be interested, like, to do a Clemson fan poll on what people think about Cade Klubnik. You know, I don't think anybody loves him to death and thinks he's the greatest quarterback in Clemson history, because, no, he isn't. But I feel like in these last, like, few weeks, like, we're coming down the stretch run of his time with Clemson, like, people are, you know, starting to rally behind him, or at least saying, hey, you know, we appreciate what you've done for us. You know, I think that could be a rallying cry of sorts. Like, imagine, like, Cade comes back, he has a really good game against Duke, and, you know, the home crowd that's been sitting in those bleachers waiting for a win, waiting for something exciting at home for so long this year, finally gets a chance to cheer and get fired up. I could see that kind of being a little wind in the sails moment to end the year. So I think for that reason alone, like, momentum wise, it could. But I think you saw with Vezina and the last thing against SMU, he can do close to what everything Klubnik does. He obviously has his limitations, just like Cade does. But the difference between the two is not a drastic drop off to the point where, you know, if Cade doesn't play, I don't think the point spread's going to drop another point or so before kickoff or anything like that. I think what Vezina showed against SMU is pretty indicative of how stuff will look regardless.
Chapel, given what we know now, would you put Cade Klubnik top 10 Clemson quarterbacks all time?
Top 10, I'd say probably yes. I think if you look at all the statistics, the production, the win-loss record, and I'm pulling this out of my head, not off the stat sheet, but I want to say he has something like, he's tied right now for the seventh most wins by a Clemson quarterback since World War II, so kind of this modern era. I think he's actually tied with DJU still, because he tied DJ with the Boston College win. So still needs to get past him. But I'd say top 10 is pretty comfortable. You know, he's going to finish in the top five or six of things like total touchdowns, passing touchdowns, total offense, that type of stuff. And, you know, two ACC championships, two ACC championship MVPs, one CFP appearance. I think that's probably enough to put him in the top 10. How much higher past that, I'm not sure, but I'll give him that for sure.
Chapel, we saw what SMU and Kevin Jennings was able to do to Clemson's defense. It was not a good outing defensively by Clemson a couple of weeks ago on that Saturday afternoon in Death Valley. What do you think Darian Mensah and that staff can use film-wise based on what SMU did, and how do you think that turns into what you'll see Saturday?
Yeah, I think they're licking their chops, honestly, and I don't know why you wouldn't. Like, Clemson, so many key moments against that in that SMU game. You know, they have a cover three bust on a very routine play call in the first quarter, and that's how that 70-yard touchdown to Hudson happened at a time when the defense had been playing so well. And then you go to that very last key third down they had. It was like a 3rd and 10 around midfield. Clemson needs a stop. They line up in a stack formation. SMU calls a timeout. They come out, same stack formation that's been hurting Clemson all game, and they have a miscommunication between the corners, Terrell and Gibson, and then the guys running free down the sideline, easy conversion. So it's not just the big stuff, it's like the little stuff too. And it's just been adding up. I think if you look at the defensive rankings, Clemson and things like total defense and points per game allowed are pretty, you know, solid, not great, but not terrible. The passing defense numbers are where you kind of get into the shakier territory. I think there's something like 78th in passing defense, a lot of kind of chunk plays, 10 plus yards, between 10 and 20 yards allowed. So they've shown over the course of this year that they are very susceptible to getting gashed. And, you know, Mensah leads the ACC, and I think he's number one in the country as well in passing yards per game. And Duke averages like 36 points per game in four ACC games so far. So I'd imagine they want to sling it, and Clemson's going to have to stop them.
Chapel, as a media member who does not have college ties to Clemson, you're not covering your alma mater, and as a guy that just wants the team that you're covering to be good because it's more entertaining and more fun to cover that kind of team, are you surprised or disappointed by the lack of public frustration from Clemson fans over the struggles that we're seeing? Because we get a lot of, oh, it's okay, we'll get them next year, it's fine. I mean, everything was stacked up this year for it to be a deep, deep playoff run and a national championship. And basically none of that has come to fruition. None of it has looked the way that it should. Are you shocked that Clemson fans are not more upset about this?
My Twitter replies tell me that people are upset. I know that's kind of like a specific group of people that are prone to outrage. But I think there's a decent amount, I'd say more than enough frustration, maybe sometimes a little out of bounds with some of the player complaints, but I get it. Like, these are people, and I always think about it this way. Like, we're so lucky as media members. Like, the way that I attend a Clemson game is so different than what a regular fan does. And, you know, we have free parking, free access to the games, meals in the press box. Like, things are kind of catered to us. Obviously, there's a trade-off of that, and that's what the media business is. It's not like we're just sitting there messing around all game. But compare that to, you know, what an average fan has to pay, the time commitment, parking far away, all this stuff, like all that, and you get to a game and your team's playing like that. I totally understand the frustration. So, I mean, I think I've seen a decent amount of it, a fair amount, I'd say, just given the rising cost of everything. And, you know, fans are always being asked to donate more, and season tickets are more expensive and parking's more expensive. And if you're paying all that money and the result is this team right here, 3-4, what, 1-3 at home, hasn't beaten a power conference team at home since October 24 over a calendar year ago. Like, I get it. So I feel like I've gotten enough frustration, at least on my end. But I know, again, Twitter's a very specific group of fans that maybe are more prone to expressing such outrage online.
Chapel, when you look at Saturday, we've talked about Darian Mensah. Do you feel like that Clemson defensively is capable of stacking performances of improvement? I mean, you've still got Castellanos and Florida State coming up. You've still got, you know, South Carolina and Lenora Sellers on the schedule. Do you feel like this defense, from what you've seen this year, is, whether it's scheme or just personnel issues in terms of them not being where they're supposed to be, do you feel like this defense is capable of making a run and stacking some good performances down the stretch?
I think they have the talent to do it. I doubt that it happens. But I think if you look at that SMU game, especially early, again, this comes back to the lack of complimentary football, that thing that's kind of plagued Clemson all year. The defense really did play well against Kevin Jennings and SMU for, you know, about the first half. I mean, they had that really bad 70-yard touchdown bust we talked about earlier. But, you know, a lot of three and outs. You know, they had an interception late.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The game to kind of give the offense a chance to get it down to a score. Obviously, they couldn't get the stop they needed after that. But I think there's some potential there. You know, I mean, Will Helt has been playing like his hair's on fire. Sammy Brown's been great. I think Terrell and Hampton have kind of stacked a number of good games on top of each other at those two outside corner positions. This team is obviously lacking, you know, the legit amount of talent and speed and just like dude mentality that you really need to lock down people like they were doing in the Venables era. But I think there's enough talent on the roster to stack some good performances. But, you know, all the little stuff piling up and a good performance here, a bad performance there, a good few drives and then a coverage bust, like that type of stuff has followed them no matter who they're playing, Power Five or whoever. So I really don't think it'll happen, but I think, you know, they have the bodies. You know, if the Peter Woods, TJ Parker starts playing out of their mind, what you're talking about, that definitely could happen.
Talking to Chapel Fowler of the State newspaper at Chapel Fowler's, where you can find and follow him on Twitter. Reed Ramsey are choosing to visit a Big Ten team instead of Clemson, Duke. If you're Clemson, if you're Dabo Sweeney, what is your concern level over that?
I'm not too familiar with that guy specifically. I know what. So where is he going instead? I know it's a 2027 guy going.
It just said
to what game instead?
It just said he was going to a Big Ten game. It wasn't specific as to which Big Ten game.
Gotcha. I mean, here's the thing with Clemson recruiting. I know there's been decommitments and stuff too. That's concerning to me because for years, like if you look at Clemson's average recruiting ranking, it's never been, you know, top five or anything, but they've had consistent, you know, 10 to 15 range. Like I think last year's was like 28th. And I know it was a very small class that got just hammered by decommitments, but like this year's class, I think is sitting at like 17th right now with the decommitment of Stansel a few nights ago. Like if you're not replenishing with guys like that, what does that say about where you're at in the high school recruiting game? And does that mean you need to, you know, switch up some stuff there, change your messaging, or maybe it's an NIL rev share issue, or maybe that means go get more portal guys. And that was a lot to figure out, not just on field, but off field. I think the high school and transfer stuff kind of runs together. There needs to be a modernizing of that operation. I'm not sure how to do it. But, you know, Clemson really sold itself for a long time. You know, with Dabo and his personality and the program and the history, like they were getting dudes left and right. Like just look at, you know, their top all-time recruits list. Like there's some really good players on there. That trend is not, you know, not here anymore. Like they're getting five-star here, four-star here, Amari Adams, Sammy Brown, you know, pick your poison. But the consistent level, even when they're not, you know, getting a top five class, 10 to 15 range, that really has not been the case the last few. So I think that kind of encapsulate some of the struggles, stuff like that, you know, like a kid visiting a Big Ten school instead of Clemson. You usually don't worry about that if you're Clemson, but now you have to.
Well, and to that point, he is a four-star interior offensive lineman, and his 247 profile lists that he has interests in Ohio State, Penn State, UCLA, Purdue. So it could possibly be one of those.
Yeah, I mean, those schools are competing with Clemson. They have for a while, some of them, but you know, you're looking at schools like a UCLA or whoever, like these are not the type of schools that Clemson is finding itself competing against for recruits now, and maybe even losing out recruits to, are schools that for the longest time, they really were on an equal playing field with, if not a little bit higher. You look at where some of the people flipped to in last year's class, like you probably don't anticipate a defensive back flipping to Georgia Tech late in the cycle, but that's what Tay Harris did. A guy flipping to Duke, Bryce Davis. I think it kind of speaks to the modern aspect of college football and how NIL and rev share have kind of leveled that playing field. But even within that, there are some teams that are still at that elite level that are still raking in great classes. Georgia, Ohio State comes to mind. I don't really know where Clemson fits in at this very moment within kind of that power ranking.
Chapel, with that being said, on the recruiting question, how does Dabo Swinney respond to that? Two straight years, he's lost guys that were up there in the recruiting rankings and guys that were probably going to be counted on to be immediate impact kind of guys. Where does that leave Dabo in terms of what he does this offseason in the portal in your mind?
Yeah, some quick numbers on that. I'm pulling up a story I read on Stansel from last night. So that is now, they've had 10 guys decommit over the last two classes combined. In nine of those instances, it's been something that happened in August to December of the cycles, you know, the last two or three months of the cycle. And in all those instances, the guys either committed to another power school, later on flipped to another power conference school. They have two guys in their 26 class that are currently decommitted from Clemson and not committed anywhere else, but they're obviously going to end up at a power conference school. So I think like trends like that are impossible to ignore. Like if your issue is you get guys during the summer and then you can't hold on to them down the stretch in the fall, and it happens that many times, like that is not, you know, that's not like a bug. That's a feature. That's something that you got to address, because for years that was never an issue. Like Clemson had maybe, I don't know, three or four total decommits in a 5 or 6 year period when they were really ramping it up and winning titles and everything. So again, part of it is like the modern state of college football, and it's hard to hold on to guys. And sometimes insert school X suddenly has more money to throw at someone, and it's just a much better situation, and anybody in that kid's spot would take the money. But I think it just kind of shows, again, we were talking about things need to get modernized. I'm not sure how. High school recruiting is hard to handle. Kids are so fickle. They commit, they decommit. Like I'm glad I'm not having to do that for a program because I wouldn't do a good job of it. But, you know, their GM and people like that get paid big bucks to figure that out. So I think changes are needed there. I'm not sure the path forward, but I think you can't look at that and say we're going to do the exact same thing over again next year.
Chapel, maybe this is a question we won't know the answer to until the end of the season or going into the next portal cycle, but I do find it interesting that the two of the transfers this offseason, Tristan Smith and Will Helt, are both tapped as captains in this weekend's game against Duke. Do you think maybe Dabo Swinney could see that guys that he brought in via the transfer portal are not the boogeyman and that they, you know, gave him enough to become captains on his team, and maybe that would lead him down the path to more and more transfers?
I mean, if I'm a Clemson fan, I certainly hope so. You know, I think it's very overdue, but I think this year is very much like proof of concept. Not only have the two guys that you mentioned and Jeremiah Alexander, I guess to a lesser degree, been like impactful for Clemson, but like fans freaking love those guys. Like, and I'm sure y'all see it whenever they're making a play or they're talking to the media. Like, I feel like I can't tweet something about Tristan Smith and not get, you know, 100 likes. Like, people love that kid. People love Will Helt. People like Jeremiah Alexander. So I think, and I think it's because to some degree they've been so like starved to, you know, have their program really modernize and take guys like that. And, you know, I know Dabo has his reasonings for not taking transfers over the years. Like, I personally think Clemson could have used a few more transfers on this year's team. And I think anybody watching them would agree with that. I think most people would agree they need like 7 to 10 transfers on next year's team if they're going to turn this thing around. So I think something like that is a good firm indication of, you know, these guys aren't hurting the culture. These guys are adding to the culture. Like, they love playing at Clemson. Tristan Smith loves playing at Clemson. Will Helt, you know what, he won 4 games at Purdue the previous 2 years. Like, he wanted to come to a big time school and have a better chance to compete and play in front of big crowds and stuff like that. So I think the fact that those two guys are captains this late in the year kind of is proof of concept. Like you said, that is something that helps you, doesn't hurt you, but it probably shouldn't have taken this many additional years to figure that out.
Chapel, you're the best, man. As always, appreciate the heck out of you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, Clemson Duke on Saturday. Gut feeling on that, Diesel?
Gut feeling tells me Clemson doesn't have enough, and they don't have everything figured out, and a bye week is probably not going to fix it.
That's awful.
Gut tells me that Clemson is going to be in a dogfight late in this ball game. I don't think this game is going to be decided by more than about 7 points.
So you think Duke pulls it out?
I think Duke has a very good chance of pulling this game out.
I guess I'm giving them one too many chances. My gut's telling me Clemson's going to find the way to get it done Saturday. Maybe I'm just being way too optimistic with them. Probably am, but we'll see. We shall see.
When we come back, Cole, it is time to do our whip around the sports world. Our Daily Wires next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.